This is the way it feels to move through summer in Lululemon. Iconic Align softness without the front seam. For our smoothest look and feel ever, summer won't know what hit it. Stretch your limits in the non-stop flexibility of the new Lululemon Align No Line Pant in select stores and at lululemon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. When your computer breaks, you don't wait for it to magically start working again. You fix the problem. So why wait to hire the people your company desperately needs? Use Indeed Sponsored Jobs to hire top talent fast. And even better, you only pay for results. There's no need to wait. Speed up your hiring with a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Value Inspiration Podcast. My name is Ton Dobber and I'm the founder of Value Inspiration. The purpose of my company is to help business software companies rethink what can be to become remarkable again. The goal that I have in this podcast is to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential that we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. So my strong belief is that we can think big, and therefore we should. Doing so will help to create a better world for all of us. And this podcast is all about that. The guest on my podcast this week is Anastasia Georgievskaya, General Manager at Youth Laboratories.
The company's story started with a beauty eye contest, and then maybe you have heard about it. It's a beauty competition judged by artificial intelligence, the first one in the world. We believe that tracking your skin health and the biomarkers that can be seen on your face is very relevant because images are very, let's say, cheap source of data, and it's very affordable. If you want to track the skin condition and track the dynamics, you need to make sure you can track it in dynamics. Firstly, algorithms can adjust to your baseline, and then you would be able to track the effects of different changes on your skin, for example, your nutrition, your lifestyle, amount of sleep, let's say weather, sports, and you can understand what's the most beneficial lifestyle for you. It's very well aligned to the trend of personalization.
This is Anastasia. She's the co-founder and general manager at Youth Laboratories, a company that's developing tools to study aging and discover effective anti-aging interventions using advances in machine vision and artificial intelligence. Anastasia has a degree in bioengineering and bioinformatics from the Moscow State University. She has won numerous math and bioinformatics competitions and successfully volunteered for some of the most prestigious companies in aging research, including in silicon medicine, which I interviewed earlier on this podcast. She also helped develop an app for tracking age-related facial changes and was one of the driving forces to organize the first beauty competition judged by the robotic jury, Beauty AI. And this inspired me, not because of the topic, but because of the transformational effects technologies such as AI are starting to have on our day-to-day life. What triggers me is what we can learn from examples like this to inspire other forms of value creation. Hence, I invited Anastasia to my podcast. We explore the value of her company's innovation beyond the point of beauty. What lessons have been learned? What are the essentials to get right? And what is the potential for society at large? And during this interview, you will learn three things. Firstly, that AI will change our approach to many questions, and as such, spark new ideas for creating value we currently don't even have an idea about. Secondly, why collaboration is key to not only accelerate the innovation process, more importantly, to give you insights to increase the value you offer with your solution. And thirdly, how involving skeptics increases the relevancy and simplicity of your solution. So, Anastasia, could you introduce yourself and tell the audience a little bit more about your background and what you're doing at the moment?
So my name is Anastasia Georgievskaya, and I'm the general manager at Youth Laboratories, that is computer vision and artificial intelligence company that works in the area of developing new biomarkers of aging and diseases using images. And my background is coming from biology. So I have degree, bachelor degree in biophysics and master in bioinformatics. And also I'm currently getting a PhD in computer science.
Okay.
So I was working before a lot in bioinformatics. And then I participated in the hackathon. It's, so hackathon is like competition in programming. And yeah, there I met another co-founder of our company, Alex, who then later on invited me to join the new company that was working in the area of computer vision and AI. The company's story started with a UTI contest. And then maybe you have heard about it. It's a beauty competition judged by artificial intelligence, the first one in the world.
Really?
Yes, really. You can Google it, because there would be millions of, let's say, searches for that. We wanted to make the idea behind that was firstly to see if people are interested in being evaluated by artificial intelligence, to see what's the perception. And we also wanted to make the unbiased beauty competition, because if you have a look at the usual ones, you will probably only see very young females. And we wanted to make beauty contests for everyone, for male, female, of all ages, all races. And the contest, I should say, it was a bomb. It was very, very popular. It was covered by many news outlets. And we realized we really need to go into this topic, because people are very interested in that. We started to make the R&D in the area of development of diseases and aging biomarkers. So currently we have about 20 algorithms for tracking different skin conditions. And we believe that tracking your skin health and the biomarkers that can be seen on your face is very relevant, because images are very, let's say, cheap source of data, and it's very affordable. And on contrast to the usual biomarkers like blood biomarkers or methylation biomarkers, so it's commonly spread standards in biology, these ones can be used almost everywhere. So you just need a smartphone. And modern smartphones are now resembling computers, because, for example, the latest iPhone even has special library for machine learning. So imagine in 1-2 years, probably all the phones will have that.
Exactly. So what is the big idea behind the work that you're doing? I mean, why do you believe that this is, what is the problem, and what exactly are you doing about it?
So you probably know that in the area of artificial intelligence, computer vision and image recognition are one of the most developed areas, because there is a lot of effort and a lot of companies and research groups working in that area. And very, very different tasks are currently being solved with very high accuracy. But if we talk, let's say it's like general artificial intelligence. Yeah, many methods emerged. Of course, they emerged not 1 or 2 years ago. So neural networks were existing 20 years ago. But still, like, when many people put a lot of effort in the area, it develops very quickly. And we want to solve a very special task. So it's, let's say, special artificial intelligence. Because taking into account that we have so many, let's say, frameworks or different resources, databases, you can very easily achieve a particular level of accuracy. It would be rather high. Let's say it would be 80%. But the last 20% to achieve the accuracy, it's very difficult, because you really need to dig very, very deep into the topic. And we focus on recognition of multiple skin conditions from pictures and health conditions. And one of the challenges here is, of course, to bring to achieve high accuracy and make the algorithm stable and track the biological relevance. So if you want to solve any task at a very good level, you actually need a lot of effort.
Yeah. And so the moment you analyze someone's skin and you find out a number of, well, you recognize a couple of things. What's then done with that? I mean, how does the augmentation come in place?
So what's more, let's say, the most interesting for people is not only to know, let's say, a particular value for their skin, or maybe several values that you can do nothing with about, right? So you want to track the dynamics. Because maybe knowing one time point, today I have that value for this parameter, I'm not quite sure that you can do anything with that. And here we come to the question that, of course, let's just say many startups are working in the area with some gamification, like coloring your hair or maybe adding on some nice eye lenses for you. But you don't need very high accuracy here. If you want to track the skin condition and track the dynamics, you need to make sure you can track it in dynamics. And the idea behind that you take the measurements for a particular time frame. So firstly, algorithms can adjust to your baseline, and then you would be able to track the effects of different changes on your skin. For example, your nutrition, your lifestyle, amount of sleep, let's say weather, sports, and you can understand what's the most beneficial lifestyle for you. So from what you benefit most, and it's very well aligned to the trend of personalization, because now the common recommendations don't work. So people already understood that. And you really need to find out what works for you. And this is why I think our algorithms can also help with that.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Is this also something that will be used by specialists? I mean, I can think of specialists that are about, yeah, advising you on these type of things. Do you think it's going to be more used by specialists, or is it going to be more used by the people itself, like you and me?
I think it would be both. So for specialists, they can make some, let's say, more advanced expertise out of your parameters. It's, let's say, one direction. Another direction is that people will also track their parameters by themselves. And the third, that might be like assistant for the doctor, assistant for common users, is the recommendation system that is AI powered. And combining these three, let's say, methods of making judgment, yourself, your specialists, and supported by artificial intelligence may make you achieve the highest, let's say, results.
Yeah, that's where you get the 1+1=3 effect, got to say.
Yes.
Okay. So what is the opportunity if we get this right? What would, for example, what could the world look like in 10 years' time?
So I think that despite there is a lot of hype around artificial intelligence, there is still a lot that we should do. So I think that in 10 years, our lives would be a lot facilitated by artificial intelligence. So it's already becoming so. And I think one of the obstacles here is maybe the lack of regulation that doesn't allow technologies, let's say, penetrate in a good way into our life and take away the all hard tasks we're doing now, for example, some routine jobs. So I think this completely would be removed in 10 years. But what is more, I think, interesting is that when we talk about artificial intelligence, one of the commonly spread approaches is not to use handcrafted features for algorithms, but rather than let algorithms explore new, let's say, extracting new features, new parameters that are not evident to us in multiple areas. So maybe the AI will change our approach to many questions in different areas, because every people, when they're thinking about something, they're like limited to their perception of that object, how they are used to treat it. But we see that AI helps reveal new features that can be very relevant to different tasks. And I think one of the changes would be that we may have a completely different look to many aspects that we and change our angle of view. And this may also be like even change of whole paradigm. And I also think that technologies that allow us, let's say, blockchain technologies also make everything very secure. And maybe we will, again, free our time for, let's say, creating new, like, space flights. But SpaceX is very popular recent days. And I think that even we will see something that we couldn't imagine in the futurist films.
Because really?
Yes, because I think, so again, I just want to stress that there must be so much undiscovered right now, and we just can't think of it because we don't have an idea about that. But once AI will uncover that idea, we might use it in different multiple applications. It's like uncovering electricity.
Yeah, I guess so. That's indeed what you see in many areas. It doesn't, well, it's, this is, of course, applied to your area of expertise, but you can also see it in, for example, the business context. And it's going back to the famous quote from Ford, you know, if we would have asked people what they want, they would like to have a faster horse because they couldn't imagine what a car would be. And we are going to face a couple of those again in the near future. So, I mean, it brings me back to the example that you gave in the beginning of the interview about the beauty contest. And one of the things that intrigued me when you were saying something about it was about creating an unbiased beauty competition. So what differences were then uncovered during that competition? Because I realize indeed that the normal competition is about really beautiful people, you know, not your everyday person, I would say. So if an AI is looking at you from a beauty perspective, how does it then uncover sort of what beauty is really all about?
So if you ask even a philosopher or, let's say, for example, a painter or poet, people who are like considered commonly recognized as working with something considered as beautiful and accepted by people as beautiful, it's quite difficult to work out what beauty is.
Yeah.
In our case, we take, let's say, suggestions that having healthy appearance, healthy skin, is considered mostly by most people as beautiful. So this is why for this beauty contest, we try to track the very, I'd say, features that you can understand, your skin health, your symmetry of your face, and we also like implemented some features from, let's say, people first. Like we compared people to models and actors in different age and gender race groups. And so it is based on the articles that an average face is considered to be the most beautiful face. And I think this is a very, let's say, very good to start, right? So you need to start with something. And for this beauty contest, we're planning to launch another one and implement even more algorithms. But as it's quite difficult to say what beauty is, we started with tracking skin parameters. But I think that it's also possible to implement some neural networks that will also train on pictures of models and actors. But it would be, again, like a little bit kind of black box, because you don't know what were the features. But on the other hand, the recent advancements in maths behind machine learning helped to reveal that you can actually make feature extraction and understand what were the important features for algorithms as well.
Yeah, but how does that translate then into an outcome? And what do people think about it?
About beauty contests?
Well, I mean, what could that mean to, for example, the future of beauty contests? Is it going to be a completely different thing? Is it going to open up new areas? Is it maybe even going to give people around the world more confidence about what they're really all about?
Yes, I think the beauty AI, let's say, contests can substitute the usual beauty contests, or they can become an alternative standard for beauty competitions. So beauty competitions for everyone, because diversity and inclusion are also the global trends, and it's very good that they're emerging. Not emerging, let's say, expanding. And I think that it also shows people that they can be beautiful at any age. And, you know, as lifespan of people extends, the way of thinking also changes. Because if before people considered like beauty contest is something for women above 35 years old, now they see a change even in our beauty contest that we had a lot of entries for people even older than 60 years old. And it shows that as lifespan extensions, and healthy lifespan extensions, people are like acting like younger people. So we are interested in that kind of things. This is why I think beauty competitions for all the ages, all races, all genders would also be very, very popular in future. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, of course, maybe not to compete with, let's say, 20-year-old girl if you are 40, but to see where you compare to your peers. This is why I think the idea is very, let's say, attractive for people.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm wondering what type of business models you could extract from something like this, or is it something that's purely going to have a value from a consumer perspective?
So in our beauty contest, it was not supported by cosmetics brands or something like that. Our let's say area of business and the way we earn money is more about algorithm development and providing them as SaaS software service, and BeautyEye is like our let's say project for attract interest, and it's like more like research project.
Yeah, exactly. That's already available, is it? Beauty.ai.
Yes. So you can download the mobile app and send us a picture that would be automatically enrolled to the next beauty competition.
Okay. Yeah. So when did it all start?
So our company started about 2 years ago, and that's also the time that we launched the Beauty AI competition. So we said, and then we had the second one because we saw a lot of interest from people participating in the first beauty competition. And I think the Beauty AI 3.0 will be launched this year.
Okay.
So in our timeline, it's September this year.
Okay. So from the initial idea, the aha moment, to where you are right now, What were the major milestones on that journey? What were the major developments that took place? And what's the impact of that?
So since we had, so one of the, let's say, main things, of course, for beauty competition was to develop accurate algorithms. And we also used some data set collected from UTI 1.0 to test the algorithms on selfies. And for the second beauty competition, we analyzed all the pictures and we sent everyone the results for their pictures. And since then, we have a lot of improvement and new algorithms were developed. And we collaborated with many cosmetics clinics and hospitals and analyzed the different skin condition annotated by professional doctors. So I think now that we can deliver even more insights about skin, about health for people who will be participating in BeautyEye, because I think one of the motivation behind that, firstly, of course, it was, let's say, an interest, because no time before robots were evaluating beauty. And I think another idea why it was motivating people to upload the app and send the pictures was to see what would algorithms say about me. Because if you, for example, ask other people, people might be a little bit biased. So it's like having standard evaluation for everyone was also a topic of interest. And I think we would like to make it more interactive. So track your results in real time. So how you are compared to people who already participated. We're also planning to make maybe short video to analyze voice as well. And I think BeautyEye will be even more popular, the third one.
But is the motivation from people more the beauty aspect of things, or is it more what is going on with my skin? And is there anything I should change in my lifestyle to prevent possibly bad things from happening?
I think the motivation behind participating in BeautyEye is both. So, of course, you would like to see very compared to others. So it's like spirit of competition, of course. On the other hand, you can get an advice how to look better, how to, for example, age better, how to live better. Of course, people would be interested in that because healthy lifestyle is a very popular trend now and people start to track their health much more, I think, nowadays, taking account of nutrition and sports.
Yeah.
And they also see it, I think they see it as one of the power tools to track your health constantly.
I would say so, yeah. So how often do you need to take a picture or to take that snapshot?
So you downloaded the app and you needed to make a selfie. So the app provided you special guidelines for lighting conditions and how to position your head. So to make it standardized. So we also implemented algorithms for tracking, let's say, ideal selfie, like with no noise, with your head straight. And then you just upload it to BeautyEye and it's sent for analysis.
Yeah.
Actually, no special. It's like people are now so much used to taking selfies that I don't think that people even need to be coached for that.
No, I understand. Correct. So once you got your results, is there already technology then beyond that that provides you with that advice? Is that something that is coming in a sort of in a slipstream of this?
Yes, I think it will be coming in BeautyEye 3.0.
Okay, so that's where the recommendations come in. Yeah. I mean, I think that that particular area could be a big leap in terms of how people are thinking about it and actually doing something about it. I mean, I live in Spain. Of course, there's a lot of sun. You're exposed to the sun. And what is the effect of that on your skin? And well, you never go to the doctor to ask and to do a checkup. And this could be making that barrier a lot lower than it could ever be. Because it's simply as simple as taking a selfie.
Yes, absolutely. And the good thing is that taking a selfie doesn't take you too much time, doesn't take you money. And then in case you have a warning from the system, you will be advised to visit the doctor. And I think it's very beneficial.
Yeah, exactly. That is, I think, one of the bigger social impacts that it could have to make that whole aspect of looking at that in a different way and an easier way much more approachable for people. Interesting. So what were the lessons learned out of the process that you've been going through over the last 2 years?
So one, let's say, of the question is that there are a lot of, in any topic you're working, there are a lot of, let's say, stones that you will have to uncover. and there are a lot of, let's say, features and smart things you need to do, we realize that you really need to go into some fundamental research to achieve good accuracy. And I think that but the most pleasant thing is that we see a lot of interest in the area, and the areas are transforming. And I think one of the lessons we learned is that many people are perceiving it in a very positive way, and you need to, let's say, find such collaborators. But still, there are some people who are very skeptic, but still they can bring you a lot of good advice. So I think what we learned is having critics is also good, because sure, it helps you to find a way how to deliver it so people can understand it and use the advantage, but also, let's say, change their mind about your algorithms and products.
Yeah, so exactly.
Never give up and do your job in a good way, and it will be appreciated.
So what were the hard choices you had to make so far, if you had to make any hard choices?
Hard choices? So I think, let's say, not hard choices, but choices we made is to go to software service, because we see that many platforms are emerging, like web applications and, for example, different devices or, let's say, requests from doctors. And we see that people are very open to collaboration and integration. This is why it's a very good thing. So the future is in the collaboration. And this is why they see that you need to be flexible and let's say, find a way how you can integrate and collaborate with everyone.
So how do you see that collaboration taking the next stage?
So I think in future, many, let's say, platforms would be providing some healthcare services, for example, for analyzing your skin lesions, or, for example, analyzing you for different disease biomarkers, for example, like cardiovascular diseases or diabetes. And probably even we will have our kitchen equipment analyzing us, for example, for our nutrition. And this is why I think we will be like constantly monitored by algorithms. I think it can sound annoying and even terrifying. But on the other hand, we are already now tracked by all the security cameras. So what's the difference? So they're not just tracking you, but what if they track you and bring you some benefit out of that?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's something that it doesn't, you don't have to even realize that it's happening in the first place. That's interesting. So you believe that this could, for example, feed all kind of other services that could then start to provide advice or interventions?
I think yes. So I don't think it would be like prescription or let's say medical examination. It would be in the form of advice. So, for example, you have high risk of these diseases, so please take attention. And I think one of the, let's say, perspective areas is video analysis, because it holds many clues about how you move.
Yeah.
And your movement is, of course, a reflection of your, let's say, body conditions, your nerve system, your regulation in your body. So I think it's also one of the perspective methods for preventive medicine.
Interesting. Were there any byproducts that surprised you that came out of this?
So one of the, I wouldn't say byproduct, but as we started to work in computer vision, we had, let's say, projects around that. So we, for example, have hackathons for computer vision and biodata analysis. They're called skin hacks. So we called them annually in Moscow. Uh-huh. So it's an international hackathon for different tasks. So this year we analyzed data coming from smart t-shirt that was developed by company Biosdorf. So this t-shirt analyzes your sweat level and makes your prediction based on your sweating behavior. And it's very interesting how you can use... So it's one of the proofs that data is coming from everywhere, absolutely. And you can find a smart way how to analyze it and how to use it.
Exactly. There's a lot to say about that one again. It must have been an interesting atmosphere there at the hackathon with all the sweated t-shirts.
Yes, you know, people were very interested in wearing them and running in them. So it was a lot of fun, I would say, but also a lot of data science behind it.
Exactly. Yeah, true. Yeah, you don't realize it, but these wearables are becoming available everywhere. And it's not only the traditional Fitbit type of devices. It's actually going to be incorporated into your day-to-day clothes. So what were you most proud of achieving so far?
So I think, of course, we were very proud with the UTI competition, its success. And me personally, I'm very proud to work with our team, who are real experts in data science and machine learning. And I see that the, let's say, algorithms we develop are really working very accurately, and I'm proud that I think soon they will make release the SaaS systems that will enable many, many people suffering from skin problems, and we will be able to track the disease biomarkers for everyone. And I think it's like, as a scientist, I would be very happy to find a way to extend human longevity. So, I mean, if our tools will help people live better, live longer, I would be, let's say, very happy about that.
Yeah, that's a similar discussion I had with Alex, the advisor in your company. But his advice was to everybody else that they are there is, if you could find ways to extend the life of everybody with 1 minute, do it. And of course, everybody can agree with that, because everybody wants to live longer at the end. So out of all the knowledge that you've gained so far, and since this podcast is also targeted at business software companies, what would you advise a software company out there to do or not to do, maybe, if they want to start with artificial intelligence?
Mm-hmm. So what I would advise is, of course, always have a look at what's going around. Don't sit in your shell and always monitor the other research groups, because maybe there are some collaborators very nearby you who are working on the same problem, and you could, let's say, augment your effort if you could collaborate. So it's one of the ideas behind that. And I think another advice would be to always try to understand that your algorithms are relevant. Maybe dig a little bit, not be, let's say, so encouraged with the results you get at first, and really double check that the deliverables are what you're actually wanting, and make sure that, let's say, the output you get is relevant for your business. And then you will be able to overcome many challenges.
So how do you, what is a tip in order to get that part right?
I think you need to, of course, every person cannot be a specialist in everything. This is why, for example, if you work in the area of AI, for example, for skincare and medical topic, like, for example, we consult a lot, and we have doctors in our teams and biologists in our team. So you really need to find people who know your object. And it's, yeah. For example, if you work in the area of application of AI, for example, for business of construction, or, for example, fintech, you really need to find people who know the tiny special secrets of successful business, so that you can also implement them into your algorithms. And, of course, people would always not be so happy to share these things. So this is why I really need to have these people in your team.
That's true. Yeah, to gain that trust as well. And to take it from an approach that's, I think, came up during the interview as well, to start thinking outside of the box, to think big, and to be open to completely different ways of approaching the same problem.
Yes, that's definitely so. Because while you are limited and very much concentrated on one idea, you are very, let's say, have a high chance to miss the good ideas when they emerge.
Exactly. So what is next on this journey?
So in our case, we really want to be the big platform that will enable everyone to have available diagnostics, make it very secure, very accurate. And one of the plans that I also told you is that we will probably move to analyzing videos, because using AI, you can extract so much information out of that. And I think it also will be a breakthrough.
I guess so as well. Yeah, true. Who knows what could come from there? So if you could ask the audience one thing, what would you ask them? How could they help you?
So I think if people in general, not, let's say, not like usual customers, but maybe even people who have some business or work in different, let's say, area of medical, let me talk about that topic. I would ask people to be more collaborative and more open-minded, and, let's say, be open to approach new problems. And let's say help people who are working in the area of data science, like providing the data, coupling with annotation, bringing their expertise, because algorithms are not to substitute people in their jobs, as you mentioned. They're like to be assistants and take on themselves like some routine job. So if people embrace the things that robots want to help them rather than substitute them, I think it would be very beneficial. Don't be afraid of AI, because AI is not like solution for everything now. Mm-hmm. But it can be a very reliable assistant for you.
Exactly. That's the pure focus of this podcast, to see how technology can augment people, the unique strengths of people, to deliver remarkable impact. So thank you very much for your inspiring thoughts. I've been kind of sort of dragged into this from a number of perspectives now with a couple of podcasts. And I've never thought about it this way, but I think if we get this right, this could mean a lot to the quality of lives of billions of people around the world. So this is pretty inspiring itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And I think the thing that you launched such podcast is very important from, let's say, a social perspective. And it's like education and, on the other hand, expanding, let's say, the thinking of many people around. So it's like very important.
Thank you for the compliment, Anastasia. And for everybody else that's listening today, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I had the honor to speak to Anastasia Georgievskaya, General Manager at Youth Laboratories. You can find more about her in a variety of ways. One way is to go to LinkedIn and simply connect with her. And the other way is to go to the website of Youth Laboratories, which you can find at ylabs.ai. The goal of this podcast is to share compelling ideas and showcases to inspire what can be when technology and people blend in the right way. It's my strong belief that too much focus is put on automating people out of a process, in other words, cutting costs, rather than scenarios where the unique strengths of people are augmented with technology to change the established rules and to deliver a value that was unimaginable before. So, with this podcast, I want to make a contribution to change this, to create a broader awareness of what can be, to accelerate the adoption by bringing together you, a tribe of like-minded people and organizations, and lastly, to accelerate the initiatives and solutions that could be created because one idea inspires the other. So if you know about stories that are worth sharing, please send me a message. Building the momentum all starts with revealing the ideas, and that starts with you. If you want to have more information, read my blogs, or obtain information on working with me, just visit me on my website, valueinspiration.com. Thank you for tuning in, and you could do me a big favor by rating the podcast or provide me with your feedback. I'll see you shortly in a new episode.